Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming live over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right, with the emphasis on the right. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is entertainment. My two guests represent America's baby boomers' most memorable forms of entertainment. My first guest tells stories about a subject as American as apple pie, and that is baseball. She knows firsthand what it's like to be behind the scenes with one of America's top baseball franchises, the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you have questions or want to call in and talk to my guest, our telephone number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. Flo Schneider was the first person hired when the Dodgers left Brooklyn and made their historic move out here to Los Angeles, a move that established Major League Baseball in California for the very first time. She spent 10 madcap years with the Dodgers in an era when the Dodgers were still a little daffy and not as politically correct as they are today. She tells stories of one of the Dodgers' greats that no one outside the clubhouse knows about. After leaving the Dodgers, Flo spent 10 years with the California Attorney General's Office as head of public inquiry unit, and after that, she became the director of tourism for the state of California from 1982 to 1991. She was appointed by then-Governor George Duke Majan. Flo now lives in Carmel, which is heart of San Francisco Giants country, where she serves on the boards of several volunteer organizations in the local community. Her latest book, Lady in the Locker Room, won a bronze medal for Best Nonfiction awarded in the 2009 Independent Book Publishers Association rankings. Flo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Billy. It's good to be with you, and to think that there are thousands of listeners now that are Dodger fans.
Well, you're in the right area. This is Dodger country down here.
Right. It's been pretty lonely for me up here in the heart of Giants.
You are in the wilderness up there as far as Dodger fans go. Well, let me ask you this, Flo. You were a young lady when you first started working for the Dodgers. You'd never been to a Major League Baseball game. How'd you end up being the first person hired by the Dodgers when they moved west?
Well, I was not only young, I was naive. You're right. I hadn't seen a Major League Baseball game, but I had just moved back to L.A. from Hawaii. And, you know, I'd lived in Hawaii where it was beautiful, and coming back to L.A. where it was smoggy, and I was really unhappy. And I was listening to soap operas all day. And one day I couldn't get any soap operas because every station was carrying this celebration of some sort. And I didn't know what it was, but pretty soon I saw a banner that said, "Welcome Dodgers." And I thought, oh my goodness, the Brooklyn Dodgers are leaving New York and they're coming to L.A. Well, when I saw all the excitement and the hoopla and all, and they were introducing the Dodgers, and I thought, you know, not everybody can leave their home in New York and come out here. I wonder if there'd be a chance for me. So I called a friend of mine at the L.A. Times, and Paul Zimmerman, he was the sports editor, and I asked him if he thought I had a chance, and he said, "Flo, you'd be great." He said, "You know, these New Yorkers, most of them have never even been to Los Angeles, so you could be a great help to them." Well, he told me who to get in touch with, and of course I sent letters and made phone calls, and I was politely told to get lost. But then when I realized they had temporary offices at the old Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, I just marched down there every single day and wouldn't go away until they finally hired me.
Oh, you were the model of persistence, weren't
you? I was.
Now, your first job, you were actually assistant to Walter O'Malley, weren't you, the owner of the Dodgers?
Well, again, so many of them had never been to L.A. They didn't know anything about L.A., but I wasn't actually his assistant. But when he was in town, there was nobody else but me. And so I had a lot of meetings with him. And I was actually the assistant to Red Patterson, who was the head of public relations and promotions. After spending a few days with O'Malley, I realized I was way over my head with that guy. He was so smart. I was more comfortable with Red Patterson in public relations.
Well, what kind of guy was Walter O'Malley? Sports fans want to know.
Just about the smartest, wily Irishman I ever met in my life. He was just too smart by half. He was charming. He'd have you eating out of his hand. We L.A. people, we were like putty in his hands. We were so happy to have him out here. But he really broke the hearts of the Brooklyn people by taking the Dodgers out of Brooklyn. They were stunned. They were crushed. They couldn't believe this was happening. You have to remember, in those days, Brooklyn and the Dodgers were synonymous, you know.
That's right,
And the thought that they would leave was crushing to them. And in fact, I can tell you one story that really pretty much describes how they felt. Years later, Ron Schweiger, who's the historian of the Brooklyn Library, said that if he were in a room with Stalin and Hitler and Walter O'Malley, and he had a gun with only two bullets, he'd shoot O'Malley twice.
And that was the feeling of the folks in Brooklyn when the team moved west.
Right.
And it's also historically important to note that this was the first time a team in Major League Baseball had moved west of the Mississippi. St. Louis, at that time, was the farthest outpost west in Major League Baseball.
You're absolutely right. And while Brooklyn was crushed, Southern California was delirious. I mean, people were practically dancing in the streets. Because you have to remember, most of the Southern Californians had come from someplace else where there was Major League Baseball.
That's right.
So they were starved for Major League Baseball, and when it finally arrived, and it happened so fast, everybody was sort of stunned. It was a great thing. We have to give the man credit. Think about it. A few years back, no Major League in baseball in California. Now we've got five Major League teams.
That's right. It was the beginning of something very, very special, wasn't
right.
it? We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. She's the author of the book, Lady in the Locker Room. She's talking about her experiences working for the Los Angeles Dodgers when the Dodgers first moved out here from Brooklyn. Now, Flo, I'm a book shepherd. One of the things that I know is the titles to books are extremely important. How'd you come up with a title for your book, Lady in the Locker Room?
Oh, well, you've got to remember, this was 50 years ago, and there was no such thing as political correctness, and baseball players were notorious pranksters in those days. What they didn't make in money, they made in humor. But anyway, one of the many, many pranks they played on me, one day at Dodger Stadium, I was handling something down on the field. It was camera day, and just as I finished everything, a couple of the players and Rod Dedeau, the famous baseball coach, and my boss came running toward me, and they said, "Flo, go get Bill Buehler. He's the trainer in the locker room. Johnny Padres hurt his hand." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "Don't ask. Just go get Buehler." So I went running to the locker room. Now remember, ladies didn't go to locker rooms in those days.
That's right.
But this was an emergency. I pushed open the door, and I was greeted by two pink cheeks.
Oh, my word.
I got a major league mooning.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, there are so many stories. I imagine that you had all kinds of pranks at the hands of the Dodgers. What were some other famous pranks that you had played on you?
Well, the first thing they did was when I went to spring training, which was a thrill in itself. I mean, even though they played some terrible tricks on me, going to spring training with the Dodgers in Dodgertown in Vero Beach, Florida, was really... I really have to say that was the most thrilling experience of my life. But anyway, the first morning I was there, I wanted to get familiar with the place, and I was so grateful to be there. I wanted to be helpful in any way I could. So I was walking around looking at all the fields and everything, and I ran into Gil Hodges. Remember Gil Hodges?
I sure do. First baseman for the Dodgers, yeah.
And he and I had become friends, or so I thought. Anyway, he looked worried about something, and I said, "What's the matter, Gil? Is anything wrong?" And he said, yeah, he said, "We can't find the keys to the batter's box, and Skipper, the manager, needs them right away." Well, for your audience, the batter's box is that chalk line place that the batters stand in when they're going to hit, you know.
Right.
And so, not knowing that was a joke, I said, "Well, can I help you find them?" And he said, Yeah, he said, maybe Duke has him, Duke Snyder. He's at the orange juice stand. Go ask him. So I went over to Duke, and I said, Duke, Gil says he can't find the keys to the batter's box, and maybe you have them. Well, he didn't even have to check with anybody. He got the joke right away, and he
right.
said, he slaps his forehead, and he said, Flo, I just gave them to Pee Wee Reese. He's on his way to the office. If you hurry, you can catch him. Well, I went running to the office. Now, remember, we're in Florida. The sun is beating down. I'm in high heels and a dress and, really uncomfortable walking around on these fields. And, of course, Pee Wee Reese played right along with them. And he said, I just gave them to Zim, Don Zimmer. So they sent me all over Dodger Town looking for these non-existent keys to the batter's box.
Looking for the keys to the batter's box. What a great story. We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. And just for the record, Flo, you're in no way related to Duke Snyder, are you?
No, I married the wrong Snyder.
You married the wrong Snyder. We'll come back and talk to that. But we're going to take a short break here, Flo. And when we come back, I want to just shotgun some names of famous Dodgers that you may have run across in your career there and get your first impression of those Dodgers. But we'll save that until after the break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Providing an enjoyable experience when you dine with them. Yolanda's has been serving their customers the finest Mexican food since February 1982. Please visit their website at yolandasmexicancafe.com to see the many choices. Come share in the experience of Yolanda's Mexican Cafe, the best Mexican restaurant in Ventura County. Yolanda's.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstormin'. We're on every day from 10 to 11 here on KKZZ AM 1400. And my guest today is Flo Snyder. Remember, our theme for the day is entertainment, and Flo is one of the more memorable characters coming out of the move that the Dodgers made when they moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. Flo was one of the first, if not the first, person hired by the new organization when they came to town. And Flo, we were talking about some of the Dodger greats. We were talking about your experience down at Dodger Town in Vero Beach, which is great. I just want to shotgun some names at you, get your top-of-mind reaction to each of these players, because you crossed paths with them during your career there. The first one has to be the great left-hander Sandy Koufax.
Probably the most intelligent ball player that ever lived. He was really one of a kind. Most of the stories you heard about him were not true. He was not a recluse. He had a great sense of humor. He just wasn't interested in the fame that went with his career. It just didn't mean anything to him. Pitching well did. There is a funny story about him. Do we have
time? Oh, yeah, we have time, okay. Sure.
Well, he was a very private person, as you know, and we all respected him and his privacy. So we, whatever we knew about his social life, we kept to ourselves. Well, he was dating a very beautiful young friend of mine, and she was a teacher, a third grade teacher. And I don't know if you have kids, but there's a thing they do in school that's called show and tell.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, well, one day, and she believed in show and tell, so one day when she was having show and tell with her third grade students, one of them had been at the airport the night the Dodgers came home from a big victory, and there was a huge crowd on hand, and everybody was really happy to welcome the Dodgers back. And he told about all the young boy told about all the autographs he collected and showed them off proudly. But he saved for last the best, and he said, the teacher's name was Marge Zizzi, and he ended his show and tell by saying, and I saw Sandy Koufax kissing Miss Zizzi.
A typical third grader type of comment. That is a wonderful, heartwarming story. Now, what about Sandy Koufax's other counterpart, the right-hander Don Drysdale? What was he like?
I call them the magnificent duo. They were just great. Don was big, tough. He had a beautiful boyish smile, but when he got on the mound, his face screwed up, and you thought, who is that guy out there? But he was a fierce competitor. He was known for I think he set a record of hitting, knocking down players. And at one time, he said the manager came out to the mound and instructed him to walk the batter. So Don wound up hitting him instead, and when the manager asked, why did you do that? He said, well, why waste four pitches when one will do?
There you go. A man of economy. I like that.
In fact, Hank Aaron said of Don Drysdale, he said, he just as soon knock you down as strike you out, and usually found a way to do both.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that Sandy Koufax is best remembered for is his passing on a start against the Minnesota Twins in the World Series. What's the story behind that?
Well, that's my favorite story of all. As I said, Don Drysdale was a big, rugged guy, 6'5", strong and tough. And in the 1963 World Series against the Minnesota Twins, we knew we were in, and Sandy had warned the club that if Yom Kippur fell on opening day of the World Series, he would not be able to pitch. Well, the ball club went crazy. What do you mean? This is the World Series. But Sandy was adamant. He said, I will not pitch on Yom Kippur. Well, poor Walter Alston was pulling what was left of his hair out, and Don Drysdale said, Skipper, I'll take Sandy's turn. And Alston said, you can't. You've only had a couple of days rest, and I'm going to need you for one of the later games. Drysdale said, no, I think I can do it. I feel good. I can think I can do it. And Alston said, no. But, you know, you don't say no to Drysdale very long. So finally, against his better judgment, Alston gave in and allowed Don to pitch on the opening day of the 1963 World Series. Well, by the second inning, the Twins had just bombed Drysdale. They'd gotten 7 hits, 2 home runs, and it was only the second inning. So the frantic Alston jumps out of the dugout, runs to the mound to get Drysdale out of there before he can do any further damage. And Don was waiting for him on the mound, tossing the ball up and down in his glove. And as this frantic Alston approached him, Don smiles and says, I bet you wish I was Jewish.
I love that story. What a sense of humor these ballplayers had. We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. She's the author of the book, Lady in the Locker Room. And if you are a baseball fan like Billy the Brain, you want to call in and ask Flo some questions about the early Dodger years, call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Now, Flo, back to you. We were shotgunning some names at you. Another very famous Dodger that came out west with him, Duke Snyder. No relation to you. What are your thoughts about Duke?
Oh, Duke was just the consummate ball player. He did everything right. He set all kinds of records with the Dodgers, both in Brooklyn and not so much in Los Angeles, but he was just a great guy, great family man, and I do have a funny story about him. He was the only well, outside of Drysdale, he was born in Southern California. So when the Dodgers came out, of course, it was like a hometown hero coming back to his home. So his fans put on a big Duke Snyder night, and I was in charge of a lot of it, not, you know, getting all the gifts. We gave him a Corvette. We gave his family all kinds of things. It was at the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
So after working my head off, getting this night to be a perfect night for him, you know, it just went real well. So then the game started. So I went back to my seat along the first baseline, and I was sitting there talking to some friends, and all of a sudden I heard what sounded like a well-hit ball. The next thing I knew, I was hit on the head. It was a line drive foul ball by Duke Snyder.
Ouch.
I was out for 2 days, and I thought, thanks a lot, Duke.
Oh, that's the reward that you get for all that hard work. That's
right.
A shame. We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. I think it's important, Flo, for listeners who might not be old enough to remember or may have forgotten, that when the Dodgers first came out here, Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium, was not yet built. So they played some of their first games in, of all places, they played them in the Coliseum. 104,000 people could have seen the games. Did you ever have a crowd that large?
We set a record of the night that the Yankees came to town to play an exhibition game with the Dodgers. It was actually a benefit game for Roy Campanella, who had been paralyzed in an automobile accident.
Yes.
We set a record, 93,000 fans, and there were 20,000 fans outside. You know, we had to scale down the seating of the Coliseum for baseball because, you know, there were many seats that were just impossible. So we rescaled the seats for baseball, and that left us only 93,000 seats out of
only 93,000.
Right. But there was there were a lot of funny stories in connection with that. You know, many of the seats were not good because the Coliseum was not built for baseball; it was built for football.
Right.
In fact, Shirley Povich, the father of Maury Povich, was a very famous sports writer with the Washington Post. And when he saw the Coliseum and the crowds, he wrote that Major League Baseball was meant to be played in Los Angeles, but not in the Coliseum, which was built for lion feeding and chariot races. But one night, I had been wanting to date this fellow. He was a really nice-looking guy, and I had my eye on him for months, but he was just not interested in me. And so finally one night, I don't know why, he asked me out to dinner, and I said, well, good, I'll try to impress him. I said, well, we'll go to the ball game afterwards. And he said, oh, okay. So again, I could see he was thoroughly bored with me, and we went through dinner, and then we went to the Coliseum. But my seats were right behind home plate, where the owners sat and the, you know, ballplayers' wives sat and the movie stars sat. We go to our seats. He takes one look around, and he suddenly turns to me and says, will you marry me?
Nothing like good seats to change a man's mind.
Right.
Yeah, so the way to a man's heart is not necessarily through his stomach. It might be through baseball seats.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd be remiss, Flo, if I didn't ask you about Vin Scully, the Dodgers' longtime announcer. What sort of man is Vin?
Well, I think everybody knows. I guess he's the number one sports voice in America. One day, somebody asked Walter O'Malley, who's the most important Dodger you have, and expecting O'Malley to name a ball player, O'Malley said Vin Scully. You know, he really is. He's a household name in all of Southern California, and he's just the best at what he does. In fact, I know you're a St. Louis Cardinal.
I am.
So I have there are many stories. I call them Scullyisms because nobody can put words together in sports the way Vin Scully can. But one day when we were in the Torrid 1963 pennant race, it was in the stretch drive.
Mm-hmm.
In the first game, your legendary batting champion, Stan Musial, he was playing his last season for the Cardinals.
I remember it well.
Right, and he homered to shatter Johnny Padres' shutout. And just seconds before, Vin Scully had been talking about the statue that the city of St. Louis was planning to erect in Musial's honor. And as the TV cameras followed the swing of Stan's bat and the ball sailed out of the park, Vinny, without a pause, said, and they're going to make it in gold.
As only Vin Scully can do. I just love listening to him on the radio. He is absolutely the most recognized voice in all of baseball announcing. We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. She is the author of a fantastic book titled The Lady in the Locker Room. Now, Flo, where can people go if they want to learn more about the Dodgers, if they want to learn more about you? Where can they go to find more?
They just go to my website, which is ladyinthelockerroom.com.
Ladyinthelockerroom.com. No spaces or underscores, anything like that.
No.
Ladyinthelockerroom.com. All right, last story. There's so many things I wish we could cover, but time doesn't permit it. But the Dodgers players were always a little bit crazy. So were the fans. Now, there was one time when Johnny Roseborough was being carried off the field in a stretcher that sticks out from your book. What's the story behind that?
Well, it wasn't. Not only were the Dodgers a zany bunch, it seemed like anybody connected to them had a touch of that zaniness, too. We had hired Bob Mitchell, the famous Bob Mitchell of the Bob Mitchell Boys Choir.
Mm-hmm.
We had hired him to be our organist at Dodger Stadium. Well, his sport was music, not baseball, but he was so good, we paid him well, and so he took the job. Well, one night he was up in the broadcasting booth at the organ, and we had told him, whenever things get quiet in the stadium, play something lively to liven things up. So this night, John Roseborough, our catcher, was seriously hurt in the head by a pitch ball. And as he lay prostrate on the ground, and the nearby ambulance attendants rushed out to the field to carry him out on the stretcher. They put him on the stretcher, and as they're carrying him out, Bob Mitchell, without turning around to see what had happened, realized that things were quiet in the stadium, so he starts in on a song called I'll Be Glad When You're Dead, You Rascal You.
So sometimes it does pay to pay attention. It makes important to pay attention to the game, doesn't
it?
We're talking to Flo Snyder, everybody. She's the author of the book, Lady in the Locker Room. It's a fantastic read if you're a sports fan. It's a fantastic read if you're a Dodgers fan or if you just like a little bit of humor. There's great anecdotes in the book. Flo, once again, for people, if they want to find it, where can they find your book?
At ladyinthelockerroom.com. It's sold up here in the Carmel area, but it's easier just to go to the website, ladyinthelockerroom.com, and it's a color, full-color book and some priceless pictures in it. I think your audience will enjoy seeing it or reading it.
Well, Flo, you are priceless. Thank you so much for being our guest. It's great. Thank you for being part of Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you.
All right. Now, remember, our theme today is entertainment. And I said that my two guests represent America's baby boomers' most memorable forms of entertainment.